When you're going through a breakup, it feels like your whole world is unraveling. And the hardest part isn't just the loss of the relationship, of course. It's the loss of the story you thought you were living, the story you thought you were going to create. But I want you to know this. Heartbreak doesn't have to be the end. It can actually be the beginning. It is the beginning if you let it be. And that's why I created the Breakup Recovery audio series. It's a 5-day journey to help you move through heartbreak with compassion, clarity, and strength. For just $30, you'll get guided audio teachings, powerful stories, daily activities, and a full reflection workbook to work through alongside me. This isn't about bypassing your pain. That's BS. It's about giving you the tools to process it, learn from it, and emerge more grounded in who you truly are. And finally, putting an end to the patterns in relationship that you keep finding yourself in. So if you're ready to start healing, head to createthelove.com/breakupaudio and begin today for just $30. Because heartbreak doesn't define you, your recovery does. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. Today I'm talking to you about what to do when it feels like things have fallen apart, right? Like, what do we do when we feel disoriented? We don't know which way is up. We can't seem to find our way, right? Life can be so disorienting, and finding our way can be really hard when we don't seem to have enough information to act, right? Like, we're waiting to really figure out what is the next step and how do I find my feet when life seems to have been dismantled. What I know to be true has been dismantled. The life I thought I was going to live. Maybe it's your work. Maybe it's your identity. Maybe it's that you found financial hardship. Maybe it's, yeah, what is your passion? What is your purpose? Maybe it's your relationships. You know, you thought that you were going to spend your life with someone and now you're not. Or you thought that you were going to be alone and now you found somebody, right? Like, life is itself very disorienting. This is not going to be the only time you ever feel this way, just like I'm sure it isn't the only time you have felt this way, right? Like, if you look at the history of your life, you for sure have found these moments where you're like, what am I going to do? Where do I go? What job do I take? How do I pay my rent? How do I get food? How do I speak when it comes to dating? And how did I mess that up? And why am I so terrified of feelings? And why do I run from hard conversations? You know, this is just such a normal part of being human. Now, look, I really think that in this age of technology, we're going to continue to try to outsource getting guidance and authority to AI, to ChatGPT, saying, what should I do, ChatGPT? What should I do? It's no different than the externalization of your authority to an adult, to a person that you parentify, which really comes to this idea that you don't trust yourself. And so in the moment when everything has fallen apart, there is this moment to merge back together with your inner being, with your soul. So many of us, when we're young, we depart from that. We let go of the things we truly love, our authentic self-expression. And there's so many developmental reasons for that and evolutionary reasons for that. We don't need to get into that because you just need to know there's a part of you that you feel like you've left behind. And now when things are falling apart, perhaps you're in that moment of gathering up pieces of yourself that you have left behind. That maybe in the building of an identity or a relationship based on false pretenses, based on, you know, what you were taught to want, what you were taught to desire, who you were taught to be was in that relationship. So it wasn't truly you, but it was authentically you at the time. You just didn't know that you had so much more to who you were. I think about this opportunity for us to really recognize how sad and exciting it is to be both lost and know that we're about to find our way, that there's this space between the knowing and the not knowing that is paralyzing in a lot of ways. How is this any different to the same space that we need to sit within when we're standing in line at Starbucks and wanting to pull our phone out because we can't even be in a moment with nothing? And yet, it is in that nothingness that you will discover yourself. This idea that, like, truly it's silence is who you are. It's where you're found. It is in the ending of something and the beginning of something that you actually have this opportunity to really get to know who you are. Now, I think there's these doorways into the deeper recesses of our being that are going to happen, as I said, lots of times in your life, but will you actually walk through the door? So there's this beautiful quote from Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who wrote Women Who Run With Wolves. "The doors to the world of the wild self are few, but precious. If you have a deep scar, that is a door. If you have an old, old story, that is a door. If you love the sky and the water so much that you almost can't bear it, that is a door. If you yearn for a deeper life, a full life, a sane life, that is a door." We have all these doors that we call wounds and traumas and sufferings and confusion and all that. And we can put all those labels, and those labels can be valid in the human experience, of course. But they are also doors. Have you ever had something not work out in your life that you were devastated about, that later on you were led to a place that you would never have gotten there had you ever had that thing not work out? Like, just truly, you didn't know at the time when you were so caught up in the lack of trust in how life works out, and you were so caught up in the pain of not getting that thing you wanted, that you didn't realize that there was something greater trying to be realized through you. Now, look, I have worked with so many people who have gone through that process where they come to me and they're like, look, I've done this mistake. I did it. And then I went back to it. And then there's a lot of shame about the going back to it. And I'm like, look, you can't learn from what you shame. You can't sit down with the part of you that wanted to go back to what you knew and actually learn from them and get the wisdom from them if you judge them for the choice. Now, look, you can have experiences of shame about going back towards abuse or trauma or gaslighting or whatever the words are, the circumstances that you describe, or you can have compassion knowing that there is a part of you that believed that was the best choice and there was more lessons to be picked up in that. We're not saying that they weren't bad circumstances. We are not saying that should you have had an objective mind, you would have never gone back there. But when life is being lived through a wound or through a repeated pattern, objectivity is not a thing. That's why the saying is hindsight is 20/20, because when you're in it, you can't see it. And then you shame yourself because you look back with the clarity of the vision that you got from being in it. The only reason you have the awareness that you have is because of the experience. And so move forward with that lens, not backwards, right? The shame that gets projected on your history is not productive compared to the wisdom that could be used to derive and decide your future. That is productive, right? The other day I was listening to a talk where the guy was talking about how we don't have a lack of discernment or discipline. We just have a whole army of things that are set up to distract us from being discerning and disciplined, right? Like, you are facing a tsunami of biological triggers and psychological triggers that are meant to actually derail you and then just siphon your life force. Just actually be like, oh yeah, we're going to keep you in this addictive cycle. Yeah, you have a trauma that was the doorway for that cycle. You have a pain that was the door. You don't want to be with your heartbreak? Great. Here's 7,000 Instagram reels and 2,500 wasted hours of your life. But then it's like, if you wake up in the 2,500th hour, is it wasted? You have to know when you wake up in the midst of an addiction or in the midst of a painful pattern, right? This sort of monotonous lack of consciousness in the way that you're living your life. I've done that. It's not to shame the lack of consciousness. It's to say, go be with the grief that you forgot about yourself and then reclaim yourself. Use the energy of the what you're feeling as shame or guilt or anger or rage or sadness or all of those things washed together. Use that to actually change and transform. That's why I made a rule when I was younger, when I finally realized that I was sitting on so much unresolved or unintegrated knowledge. I was like, I have to live at the highest level of my knowing. As soon as I learn something, it has to be integrated. It has to become part of my way of being. And that's how you honor the integrity of an experience. And yet we have to hold the complexity of these things, right? That when things fall apart, there's a disintegration, often of parts of you that weren't even you, right? Like, we have to remember that the falling apart is a story. It's a facade. It's all the things that you could have desired. I'm not minimizing the humanness of your experience, that someone betrayed you, lied to you, left you, cheated on you, that there was a death, that there was a loss. All that stuff can be true. And yet we get to decide the meaning that we make about that thing. that it meant we were invaluable or that person had issues. That when we made that choice, it's because we suck or it's because we had a strategy or an adaptive behavior that wasn't healthy and now we see it and now we can change it. That we can look at the behavior of others and make that mean things about our own value, or we can look at the behavior of others and see it as a separate experience of their behavior that is theirs. It is our behavior in response to their behavior that matters. That's what we have to take responsibility for. So there's this beautiful quote from Rumi where he says, "Try not to resist the changes that come your way. Instead, let life live through you. Do not worry that your life is turning upside down. How do you know that the side you are used to is better than the one to come?" That's so true. It's such a simple statement. How do you know? Now you feel like life is upside down, but how would you know? And you know, it really makes me think about when you are in relationship with someone who disturbs your reality, right? So let's take a look at this. My drawing is suspect, to say the least. So if you're in a relationship with someone, I just do stick people much easier. And this is your world, and this is their world. And then they gaslight your world. They start to actually say to you, you know what? That's not true. You know the things you're passionate about, like your work, your words, your writing, the things you bring to the world, all these things that light you up, they're bullshit, right? Like they start to actually chip away at your self-worth. And what happens when that occurs, and this can occur through gaslighting, right? Things like that. And this occurs in emotionally abusive relationships, which often lead to physical abuse. So what happens is the chipping away of your world. And so you lose yourself. And what happens is that you become part of their world. They decide what you feel, what you think. And you can see that there's a split that occurs. And eventually it actually will consume all of you if you stay in it. And so this is where all your passions are still existing. So you can feel the split. This is the thing I was talking about, that when you're young and you have, like, maybe you're really funny, but that gets rained on. Maybe you cry sometimes, you had anger sometimes, but those feelings weren't allowed. So you had to split off and you had to present this version of you to the people in your life, but you had this other more dormant, hidden part. And because you're sad about the loss of these things, that you're ignoring them, that you've put them in a box within your own psyche, within your own soul, within your own experience, this is what feeds your addictions, right? Because you have to be with the pain and suffering, that you have to pretend this doesn't exist. And over time, right, maybe this is, you know, what we would call disassociation, is you have to leave your own body. You have to leave your own body because it's not safe to express those things. So you become sort of a void version of yourself. And then you build a life based on this. Or if you're in a relationship with someone, eventually, right, it's not even a split. It's just a total consumption. If you think about this metaphysically, is this what it's like when an entity attaches to you? And is there any difference between a narcissist or a psychopath or a sociopath who actually is an entity that attaches to you? It can feel that way, right? And it depersonalizes it in a way. And it also makes it understanding why you want to go back to someone who wasn't healthy for you. Because if it's an entity, it's still sticking to you. So you have to have cleansing practices. And maybe that's using Palo Santo or sage. But it's also behaviors like going to the gym, eating natural organic foods, right? Because when you are a processed version of yourself, you will be drawn to processed foods. You will be drawn to processed things. So your ability to recreate a self. So when this falls apart, the illusion of this world, remember, you're being told like left is right, up is down in this reality. You've been gaslit. So you've been consumed. So now you think like, if you don't believe your own feelings, your own intuition, and you learned even at a very young age that you couldn't be within your body because it wasn't safe, when you start to actually, so remember, your world is completely destabilized. So when someone leaves you in these circumstances, you actually end up not knowing what it's like to even be in your world, right? Because this was actually what your world was like. This is just like Rumi said, "Do not worry that your life is turning upside down. How do you know that the side you're used to is better than the one to come?" Look what's coming. Look what's coming when that relationship that you thought was totally good and your dream, and then you realize that you were tolerating BS, not just from them, but from yourself in order to maintain the relationship, that you had to deny your own reality to be with the reality that you were in. What's happening is it's going to feel very destabilizing because you don't actually have an established this being yourself, right? And within this is your values and your behaviors and the things that you want to bring to this world. And so you could see that to actually build this back up, both exciting, but both sad because you had to lose it at some point. So this is when you're in this space, when you're feeling lost, when you're feeling confused, when you're feeling like you don't know. Don't act before you're ready to act. Trust that more information is coming. Trust that you're going to continue to pick up pieces of yourself. If you're so used to this frenetic energy of always trying to move on to something or change something or be something, like always trying to shift things, work on things, what happens if you just allow yourself to be realized? And this is the deep work, right? That when things fall apart, can you trust that you're actually coming back together and emerging in a way that is authentic for you? So much love to you. Stay in this stasis, this space between. Allow yourself to bloom and blossom and become and take form and take shape. And really trust that the doorway you're being invited into is the doorway that you need, and it must be because it is. And that when you're trying to shake off what has felt like an entity, that you say to that experience, I do not consent to you being in my being or my experience. I am done. I am taking back my space, my heart, my values, my life. And watch me, because this is my reclamation journey. This is me stepping back into who I truly am. So with all that said, I hope you have a beautiful day in navigating the things that seem to be falling apart as they come together. Wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future episodes. I hope you're having a beautiful day.